solo album called Working's Too Hard, and then we'll come back and we'll chat, okay?
Okay.
Raina Gellert, and Raina joins me tonight on Dangerfield. So that song was off her 2017 solo album, Working's Too Hard. And so I'm thrilled to have her on the show tonight. I first was introduced to your music, Raina, from one of my previous guests, Kai Welch, an old friend of mine. And as we kind of went through his repertoire of music, he wanted to share some songs that he had played on. And when I heard this album, Working's Too Hard, I think I messaged you after on Instagram, and I just said I had that song Graybird on loop for a while. And I think it's super gorgeous and super pretty. And so, yeah, I'm thrilled that you're here tonight. So I guess let's talk a little bit about that album. And so you put that out in 2017, and it's a collection of some of your original songs and some traditional songs. You recorded it with a group of folks, your co-producer, Kieran Kane, Kai Welch, drummer Jamie Dick, and it was recorded by Grammy-winning engineer Charles Yingling, who's worked with such artists as Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. So I remember Kai telling me that recording that album was just a wonderful experience, and so you did it all live in one room. And where did you record that, and kind of how long were you, did it take to kind of record that album?
Well, recording that album was a really cool, really sweet experience. And Kai and I have often talked about how that was kind of a revelation for both of us about how a recording could be made. We did it at the Blue Room, which is the studio where Charles Yingling works. And it was Kieran's sort of producerial input to say, this is how we should record this. And I think we should sit as close together as possible and do everything live. And I mean, I've tracked sort of string band, old time fiddle music in that way, but I didn't really feel that confident as a vocalist. I was really concerned about not being able to overdub a vocal.
Great.
And it was so amazing because I feel like I sang so much better than I would have if I had been in a booth by myself. Like the fact that I was playing guitar and singing at the same time meant that everything was very connected and the grooves were solid. And yeah, I mean, like we were so close together. I was basically sitting on the drum set practically.
I think I've seen some footage of it and it looked really cool. Like you're kind of almost in a circle, was it?
We just clumped up in a circle and Charles is so amazing. Kieran has worked with Charles for years. And so Kieran knew that Charles could do this because I was sort of like, how do we can't do this with drums and like electric guitar. And it just seemed like it wasn't going to work for us to be that close together, trying to track everything at the same time, especially with vocals. I'm not a loud singer, but Charles just did an amazing job. And I mean, I think it was hardest probably for Jamie Dick because as the drummer, he just really had to restrain himself with volume. Like he just played real quiet.
Right.
And it totally worked. It was really wonderful.
And so for those who want to check out Raina's music, you can find her on her website. It's Raina Gellert, RaynaGellert.com. That's RaynaGellert.com. And she's also on Instagram at Instagram.com/RaynaGellert. So Raina, that album that we're speaking of, 2017 album Working's Too Hard, so it's a mix of traditional songs as well as songs that you'd written. So how did you come up with the track listing on that? Was it something that was immediately apparent to you? Did it kind of come out in the process of recording? Or can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, I really was interested in doing another project and I was kind of dragging my feet on moving forward with something because I felt like I didn't have a full album's worth of stuff that felt like a unit in the way that you want a group of songs to feel like they're meant to be on an album together. And at some point I realized, and I think it was in conversation with folks like Kai and with Kieran, that an EP was a perfectly fine thing to do. And it's actually very much the direction that the sort of music industry is going in general. Like you don't, the way that people listen to music now is not necessarily putting on an entire album and listening to it from start to finish. And that it was actually okay for me to say this group of songs feels like it should be together. And it may be a smaller bunch of songs, but that can be an album. And so, yeah, it was stuff. There were some songs that I had been poking at for a while. There was some stuff on there that I ended up finishing with Kieran that he and I were sort of going through some songs that I felt had not been finished. And yeah, that's...
So- Maybe we'll take me. Let's take a listen to a song that I really love as well off that album, called "Oh Lovin' Babe," and it's so for anyone who wants to check out this album, I really recommend it. So let's listen to that, and then we'll come back and we'll chat. Okay.
Okay.
That was Oh Love and Babe by Raina Gellert. Raina joins me tonight on 101.5 FM The Hawk. So Raina, you grew up in a musical family, and you spent, it sounds like, a lot of your life in kind of immersed in you know, gospel and old ballads and rural string band music. And it sounds like your dad was, he was a traditional fiddler and banjo player, but it sounds like you, or what I've kind of learned about you, is that you were originally a classically trained violinist before you kind of really got into the fiddle. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was always in love with old time music, but was pretty intimidated by my dad, who is a really astonishing musician. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a little heavy to me as a kid to want to play the fiddle when my dad was such an amazing fiddler.
Right.
And so I was lucky enough to be in a place where the community public schools had a really great music program. And so I was able to start playing classical violin in my school orchestra when I was 10. And that felt like a way to get to know the instrument in a musical realm that was outside of traditional music.
Right.
So I kind of needed that sense of separation that I wasn't doing exactly what my dad was doing.
For sure.
Yeah.
Since the pandemic has, you know, been in place, like past year and stuff, you've been teaching actually online lessons of the fiddle. And so was teaching something you did before this kind of break in, you know, that happened, you know, across the world with playing live and touring, was that something that you'd always done and moved online? Or is that something that kind of emerged as a result from the time that we're living in?
Well, a handful of years ago, I was doing more teaching online. And then as my life has just sort of moved away from the realm of traditional old time fiddle music over the past decade or so. And so I was still, you know, I would occasionally teach a private lesson online or something, but I had really phased out doing much in the way of workshops and that sort of thing. And any private students I had to be very flexible and willing to just sort of pop in on occasion when I was free and not on the road and stuff. Mm-hmm. But yeah, once the pandemic settled in and lockdown happened, and it actually took me a while to get around to it. Because I felt like everyone's, like, as soon as lockdown started, everyone I knew was offering music lessons online.
Right.
I just felt like the market was glutted and no one was going to take lessons from me. And I had a few private students here and there. But I didn't start doing the online workshops until the fall. And it was just, I kind of put out the feelers of, like, is anyone going to take a workshop if I offer one? And I got good feedback. So I went ahead and I scheduled one. And it was so fun. Like, I just didn't expect it to feel like it did. Like, it actually felt like I was hanging out with people.
That's awesome. And so did that open you up to kind of like a broader audience? Like, is it like, have like, what, like, is it kind of like a global audience? Like,
yeah, it's really cool when I do these. So I've been doing these workshops once a month since, I don't know, November maybe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I have a worldwide audience for them now.
That's awesome.
It's so sweet. At the beginning of the workshop, people start saying where they're tuning in from. You know, I do them on YouTube Live, and so there's a chat window. And so, yeah, folks just start saying, I'm in Wales, I'm in Australia, you know, wherever they are, all over the world and all over the States. And it's just, yeah, it's really sweet. It's amazing to me that this many people are interested in geeking out about the same obscure little corner of traditional music that I'm into.
Well, speaking of geeky, you've got the coolest merch. And so for those that are really check it out, go to Raina's website, RainaGellert.com. You've got some really awesome merch, like toques that say fiddle geek, and then fiddle tuning like tanks and totes. They're really awesome.
Oh, thanks.
So one thing that so it's like interesting fact, well, for me at least, but my mother's father was like a really big fiddle player in Ireland. And so I'd actually sent my parents your music just because I knew they'd be thrilled to hear it after I discovered it. And I guess my grandfather did play the fiddle as well as something called the Ulaine pipes. I think it's something you play with your elbow.
Yeah.
But before I was kind of chatting with you tonight, I was kind of reading up about fiddling and just the history of it. It was so fascinating learning about the nuances based on style, based on region. And I think I think because the way I absorb kind of music, you know, like let's just say, you know, rock and roll and stuff like that, I think of it almost like there is some, you know, ruralness influence, but a lot of it is based on kind of decade and the decade that something's in. But when I read up on a lot of this, you know, I read about the different, you know, one example was Ozark's fiddling is faster and crisper bowing. And then if you're Irish, you know, it's a bouncier feel to the bowing. And so there's all these really fascinating nuances. So I guess my question to you is when you're teaching this kind of global style, like what style are you teaching, and are you finding feedback from people in other regions that they might have heard it a different way, or what, like can you talk a little bit about maybe anything you've learned from that kind of international aspect of sharing music that way?
Yeah, I never cease to be amazed at the way that traditional music is sort of it's an immediate language that you speak when you encounter another traditional musician from anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. It's like you're immediately on the same wavelength in a certain way, regardless of how screamingly different your styles of music may be. There's just a sympathetic vibration there with people who play traditional music and, you know, folk artists of all sorts. So I love when folks who play some other traditional style of fiddle music want to learn what I have to teach, which is really mostly Southern and Appalachian, Southeastern U.S. kind of fiddle styles. That's sort of my happy place as far as regional style. And it's really fun how, like, if an Irish fiddler learns an old-time tune, you can hear the Irish accent in their playing in the same way you would with them speaking language. It's so much like language in that whatever you're grounded in, whatever your native tongue is, that comes out in anything else that you learn. So if you're a French-Canadian fiddler or an Irish fiddler and you come to Southern old-time fiddling, I can hear that accent in your playing, and it's like, oh, I love that.
That makes so much sense, because it's like, I guess the instrument's been around, I guess it's the 16th century, yet it wasn't until, I guess, very early in the 20th century that maybe recording started to happen of it. So literally it has been something that's been passed down through generations. And I love the analogy of it being like a musical accent. That's really cool.
Yeah, and it's absolutely true.
And so we played the your most recent two songs from your most recent solo album. And before that, you put out another album, and there's a beautiful song off it. I'd love to play. It's called The Stars, and it's off your October 2012. You put it out in October 2012. And the album's called Old Light, Songs from My Childhood and Other Gone Worlds. So let's listen to The Stars off that by Raina Gellert, and then we'll come back and we'll chat more with you, okay?
Okay. Was it a Sunday morning? Still Saturday night, waves are walking.
Stars by Rena Gellert. She's joining me tonight on Dangerfield. You can find her at renagellert.com or instagram.com/renagellert. So Rena, this was the first solo album that you put out. And so maybe even let's talk about the title of the album and what that means. So it's called Old Light, Songs from My Childhood and Other Gone Worlds. What made you call the album that?
That album was a real art project. I was kind of struggling with the fact that I have spent my life so deeply immersed in traditional music and had started writing songs. And I was trying to figure out if those things could sort of coexist in the same space. So I was, I had two different projects kind of cooking at the same time in my head. And one of them was songs from my childhood. I wanted to make an album where I was doing interpretations of songs that made a really profound impression on me as a very tiny child, which were, you know, some murder ballads and some other songs that just had some really amazing imagery in them that burned themselves into my head at a very young age and that still evoked a lot of emotion and nostalgia for me. So that was one pile of songs. And then at the same time, I was writing songs, many of which were inspired by some reading I was doing, some thinking I was doing about the human brain and memory and the sort of just how fragile our brains are and how unreliable our memory is. And so I was kind of juggling these two things. And it was actually my collaborator on that project, Nathan Salzberg. He was the one who really sort of pushed for me to combine those two piles of music, because he just like immediately sort of saw that these things were related.
Hey.
And that one thing was about these songs filtered through my own memory and the other about memory in general. And I just, it's funny. It was like I had such a mental block about putting traditional songs next to my original songs. It was so hard for me to, I don't know why that was so hard for me to wrap my brain around, but it was. This is where I must begin. Memory is full of sins. I know we met, I don't know when. I know this place I've never been. My memories are not my home. Just a flash of light that I call home. Nothing but electric charge.
Song called Nothing, the title track off the album Old Light, Songs from My Childhood and Other Gone Worlds by Raina Gellert. So when you talk about Other Gone Worlds in that album title, are you talking about memory?
It's referring to amnesia, and it's mm-hmm. also referring to the idea of the gone worlds that are evoked in the old songs.
Wow, it's beautiful.
So, yeah, thanks. It It was quite a journey making that record. Kai was very involved with that process too. That was he did a lot on there.
And so were you writing lyrics the whole time, kind of growing up? Did you start to put pen to paper about lyrics later on in life, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I've always been a writer. I've always been a journal keeper and someone who enjoys language and words and writing. And definitely writing has always been a way that I process thoughts and emotions and stuff. But in the same way, like, I had these mental blocks about putting my songs next to traditional songs, in the same way, being so grounded in traditional music and being a traditional musician, I just didn't have a way in somehow in my head. Again, I had a mental block about songwriting. Right. I felt like I had a real prejudice in a way about the idea of the singer-songwriter and this, you know, this sort of overwrought, oversharing kind of thing that I was sort of afraid of becoming. Yes, go on.
No, I was just going to ask, like, as someone who journaled a lot, then would you ever kind of pick phrases from different parts of a journal and then assemble them into kind of a cohesive song or thought, or were they words that were kind of together that already that kind of joined the music that you were making?
Right. Yeah. Well, once I sort of let myself start writing songs, which was, I guess I first started experimenting with it a little bit in college, stuff that, you know, was never going to get shared with anybody ever. Mm-hmm. But I did sort of start to kind of fall in love with the idea of writing songs. And my process for the longest time was always just words and melody would come together at the same time.
Okay.
So it was never like, you know, mining other writing I had done or mining stuff mm-hmm. from books or anything. It was just, I would pick up a guitar and start noodling and then something would fall out. And then I would just pursue that thing that had fallen out. And that is really the way I wrote for years.
Cool. And so you spoke just then of picking up the guitar, and that's something we haven't even explored yet. So do you write your songs on guitar, or do you write them on, like, are they all written on guitar? And when did you learn guitar?
I started messing around with guitar again when I was in college. Right. I started, you know, learned a few chords, and that's really about as far as it ever progressed. but it's funny, these days I write a lot of different ways because my Kieran is my partner in life and music, and he's someone who's been writing songs for a very long time and writing songs in Nashville, where they have ways of writing songs. they've got methods.
Yeah.
And for him, a lot of his writing, I would say the majority of his writing is based around some kind of instrumental bit,
mm-hmm.
a riff, a groove, some chord changes, something. Like, that's where it all starts. And so he will be noodling around on an instrument and I'll be like, ooh, what's that? And I'll run and get my iPhone and record some little bit that he's doing. And I'll often start writing to something that he's done like that. So that's a different, for me, that's a different mode. It's like there's a different structure to what I'm trying to do, that it's not just sort of springing out of my head as one piece, but there are more options for the direction it goes in when you're working like that. So these days, maybe it's that I pick up a guitar and I have an idea from noodling around. Mm-hmm. Also, another way that I write is when I drive.
Oh, yeah.
If I have a nice long drive by myself, something always comes out.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, I guess, is there a lot of I don't know enough about this, but is there a lot of improvisation in maybe the traditional style of music?
When I'm playing traditional music, it's quite structured. The elements that are improvisational in the music that I make are pretty subtle, like slight shifts in a rhythmic phrase or a little bit of a melodic variation, like a little ornament that is there one time and isn't the next, you know? So that's, yeah, I mean, the sort of string band music that I play is not super improvisational.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to a song off of your 2019 album, When the Sun Goes Down, and then we'll come back and we'll chat a little bit more about it. I'd love to listen to Ghost. Is that cool? We'll listen to that song.
Sure.
And then we'll come back and we'll chat.
Okay.
By Kieran Kane and Raina Gellert off their album When the Sun Goes Down. You met, I guess, was it, you met at a, you and Kieran met at a, the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, is that correct?
Yes.
And so you mentioned that you, like, your songwriting partners, we talked a little bit about your style just then. And so, what was the first song that you wrote together? And can you talk a little bit about that and what that was like?
Wow. Yeah. He started sending me some little, you know, some little banjo riffs and things. And there was a guitar riff that turned into the song You Don't Know Me, that was on our first album. And, that was the first, I would say that's the first song we ever finished. And it took, it was a pretty circuitous route to getting done. Because we did have some disagreements about sort of the direction of the song. And so there was a lot of back and forth. And then in the end, it kind of sat there for a long time, and then we came back to it and we were like, oh, that's totally a song.
And was that off your album, The Ledges?
Yeah.
Cool. Let's listen to that song, and we'll come back and we'll chat.
Change it if you don't do the best you can. Lying such a long time, don't say you're sorry now. Your shameful way of living is more than I can allow. You don't know. So, hey, you're gonna get me back, honey. Don't you know?
Kieran Kane and Raina Gellert off their first album together called The Ledges. That song was called You Don't Know Me. And so you put out The Ledges in February of 2018. And Kieran has a record label called Dead Reckoning Records, correct?
Yes.
And so I've read up about him. And so he's like one of the very influential person in I think how we hear music today. And I mean, it's his people that have covered his songs or played his songs are just incredible musicians. It sounds like everyone from like Emmylou Harris to, I mean, the list goes on. And so so The Ledges, so that was the first album that you put out. And then within a year you put out another album. So let's listen to the first song off that album. The song is called Who Knows, and the album is called When the Sun Goes Down.
I want to see you when the sun goes down. Before the stars come out to rest, maybe we'll see one go shooting by. Who knows? Feel the heat coming off the street. You've been making me a wreck. The way you kiss me like you don't. Is gonna go. I don't care, long as you are there. I've been thinking about this all day long. There'll be no moon tonight. Let's throw a blanket down and watch the sky. Who knows? stars come out to rest. Maybe we'll see one go shooting by. Who knows? I don't know, I don't know where this is gonna go. I don't care, I don't care, long as you are there.
Sounds like you have a very fruitful kind of creative partnership. What are you working on next?
Well, it's been a weird year. We were definitely, when lockdown happened, we were on tour in Australia. Well, we were supposed to be on tour in Australia. We got to Australia, we played one festival, and then had a few days off before our next thing, and during that time everything changed.
Wow.
And the whole tour got canceled, and we have a wonderful friend over there who was kind of taking care of us, being our manager and road manager in Australia. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up just hanging out with her for a couple weeks and then made our way back to Nashville. And at first it seemed like the obvious thing was, well, we can't be on the road, so I guess we'll just hunker down and write, right? I mean, we've written a lot, like you're saying.
Yeah.
We actually had been writing loads. And then we were in this mode of like, we had kind of a busy year ahead of us for 2020. And so we were kind of picturing 2020 as a year of kind of going out and performing a lot, and we hadn't really been seeing it as a writing time, but we just figured, well, you know, some writing will happen at some point. And then when lockdown happened, it's just, I don't know, it's affected everybody differently.
Yeah.
And Kieran and I are very happy in our little bubble here in East Nashville. Like, we haven't lost our minds or anything. We have not been writing. Like, not at all in the same mode that we were in before lockdown. And it's very strange. It's been very strange to, I mean, we talk about it frequently. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've done a few things. We've had a few little spurts of, like, we're going to sit down and we're going to write. And it's just, it hasn't sustained itself in the way that we're used to it sort of sustaining itself. And it's been kind of a psychological trip for us. And we have ended up just sort of going, okay, this is just a fallow period and that's fine. Pretty soon after lockdown started, I started playing old time fiddle tunes, which is something that I had not been doing. Like I said, like over the past decade, I really have sort of shifted my focus toward songwriting. And that has been what's energized me and kind of kept me going. Obviously, I'm always going to play old-time fiddle tunes regardless of anything else, but I hadn't been fully engaged or obsessive or doing that thing that I used to do of just sort of picking up the fiddle and pacing around the house and playing tunes just as a thing to do.
Is there comfort that you feel when you do that?
Well, that's the thing. It's totally where I went. And it wasn't like, oh, maybe I should try playing some fiddle tunes to pass the time in lockdown. It was completely like this visceral reaction was this sense of going back to home base.
Yeah.
And so that's been the upside for me is that even though we haven't been writing, I've actually had this really profound experience of reconnecting with traditional fiddle music in a way that feels really grounding and really helpful. And
that's beautiful.
And I feel like that is something that I feel like I do want to do some recording of just some fiddle tunes. And that's something Kieran and I have been doing more around the house, is just him playing guitar along with me playing old fiddle tunes. And that's really fun for both of us.
That's beautiful. Well, that's exciting. And I'm sure that a lot of more great music is going to come out of that. Let's play another song. Maybe we'll play us out. But I just want to thank you so much for your time. And this was such an interesting, really interesting conversation for me to have. And I learned a lot from it. And so I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It meant a lot to get your super sweet note that you messaged me after you listened to Greybird. And also it means a lot that you asked me to talk to you about music today. It's very sweet. Thank you so much.
Raina, I really hate to cut this conversation. I could talk for like 3 hours.
I knew it from the beginning. I knew it right from the start. I knew exactly what I should do. Walk out the front door. Never look back. I can't help myself when I'm with you. I can't live without you now. I can't live without you now. The time is long gone for me to move on. I can't live without you now. Somebody's waiting, waiting for me to come home. I know exactly what I should do. But nothing else matters. Nothing at all. When I'm with you, I can't live without you now. I can't live without you now. The time is long gone for me to move on. I can't live without you now. Broken, lives will be changed. I know exactly what I'm gonna do. I can't live without you now. I can't live without you now. The time is long gone.
Thanks so much to my guest tonight, Raina Gellert. That was Can't Live Without You by Kieran Kane and Raina Gellert. You can find them at kanegellert.com. Thanks so much.
We're CIOI-FM, broadcasting from Hamilton at 101.5 megahertz. Just call us The Hawk. I've been waiting on a war since I was
was young. Since I was a little boy with a toy gun, never really wanted to be number one. Just wanted to love everyone. Isn't my